This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Books Uncovered. I'm Bella.
Kia ora, Holly.
This week, we are talking about poetry from all over the world.
Yeah. It's always my favourite thing to talk about. Well, you know, book related. Yeah, we've done a couple of shows. We've done one together and I think I did one on my own.
Yeah, I think so.
A while back.
It's not an area I read. I do really enjoy poetry, but it's not my... I don't read very much of it.
I
would like to read a bit more this year.
It's just about finding the right poet.
Yeah. I do tend to find... I've read mostly like New Zealand poets. Usually they're queer.
Yeah.
Luckily there's a lot of them. So.
There is. Yeah, I kind of like, I don't know, I guess I get stuck on, I love American poets and British poets, like contemporary, but old, the confessionals, you know, from the old Americans.
Yeah.
But the one I was going to talk about today, I came across, he's an American guy called Brendan Constantine, and I came across him from an anthology that I was given called, which I should have brought him with me, but I've actually lent it out at the moment. But it comes out every year and it's like the best American poetry. And this one's from 2024. I discovered this wonderful guy called Brendan Constantine. He's the author of four books of poetry, most recently Dementia, My Darling, and his works, you know, appeared in all sorts of places, mostly. Oh, yeah, it's called The Best American Poetry, which is the anthology that comes out yearly. He's a teacher in LA and since 2017 has been developing poetry workshops for people with aphasia, which I was like, wow, that's so
amazing.
Curious.
Yeah.
So I actually had to look at aphasia because I had a general idea of what it was, but I was like, actually, what is this? So it's a disorder that affects how you communicate. And it can impact your speech as well as the way you write and understand both written and spoken language.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting.
Does he have it? Or
I don't know, actually. There's quite a few YouTube videos of him. Like he does like performance stuff and he's got quite a presence. He's quite an unusual looking guy.
Yeah.
But I was really excited to read this poem that I'm actually going to read out. It was like the most exciting poem I had read in a while. And then I found out about him. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense because the poem's quite odd. If you search him on YouTube, you'll come across this really wonderful video. I think it was like part of a TED Talk type thing. I did write about it. Oh, yeah, it's called The Opposite Game. And he takes a line from an Emily Dickinson poem that is, my life is a still loaded gun. And then it's like a workshop situation and the kids have to say the opposite of all those words. I might play a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to read a poem by him. So it's Brendan Constantine, if you missed that. And this one's called Kleptopolitan. In my living room, I have a painting of my living room. I once got as far as the kitchen of the wrong house. My wife refuses to call herself an artist, which means her paintings are nobody's business. The one of the living room was done by someone else. I have nagging suspicions of yet to discover. The most popular street name in America is Park. The second is Second. After that, it's mostly trees and presidents. The fear of crossing a street has three different names. I wrote this lying down in a driveway. When I look at a star, any star, I remember no blade of grass can keep me here. My car came with maps to the rest of the country. Every morning, the windshield bears the prints of some small predator. I look through them, driving to work. To the best of my recollections, I've never fallen asleep. Today, as I pulled up to my house, a man got in the back and gave me an address. When I told him I wasn't a taxi, he apologized and got out. I pulled away again and drove aimlessly. My wife sleeps like a professional artist. I've been accused of bias towards robots. My most frequent dream is about losing my car and then my clothes. I must search for them naked all the time, hiding from help. It ends in a park of the size of my life. It's the second page of this poem. It's the second page, and this poem has a home, a wife, a car, and a job. In the coming months, it will grow uneasy about its advantages. My wife is painting a painting already painted. If this were a children's song, someone would be trapped inside it as a warning. In the future, our homes will be inside us. We'll fill the rooms with art and strangers. Yeah, so that was a poem by Brennan Constantine from, and that was first published in Poetry Northwest, which I have no idea what that is, but it's something in America. but yeah, if you get a chance to check out his videos online, they're very, very good.
Yeah, I'm going to look up the one, the Emily Dickinson one.
Yeah, it's quite clever. And it's sort of, you know, got all the soundscapes with it and stuff. I mean, I could potentially play it on here, but then I don't know what the licenses are for that.
Mm.
Since it's a YouTube video, so probably can't. So just go and look it up.
Do your own investigation into that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to that. I'm never sure how to talk about poetry. My brain's like, poetry, good. I like it. I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, I like that one because it's so odd. Like, I love the bit about that there would be warnings in the poem. Like, when the poem's kind of self-aware sometimes.
Yeah, I did like that about it. It's this is the second page of the poem.
Yeah, it's like, it's calling itself what it is. But also just the, like, one-line sentences that are just sort of statements, and they sort of stand alone, but then they do get, like, pulled back in later on in the poem. Like, they're not just, like, trying to be quirky for the sake of being quirky. I think, yeah, sometimes a lot of poetry does that.
Yeah. Which I do kind of find grating when I read. There's a certain, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's a place for it. Like, if you believe in the world that the poet's creating or it's not just, like, a punchline, I think sometimes, yeah. I think I'm guilty of doing that sometimes, or like with my own work, or being like quite aware to not do that.
Hold yourself back.
Just want the punchline. Did you bring in today?
I read, it's called Vultures by an Aotearoa poet called Jenny Rockwell. She is Te Māki Makaurau based, and she actually started off writing and performing slam poetry in 2016, which I haven't seen any for slam poetry. This is the first I'd heard of her. My girlfriend Rose brought this book home.
Yeah, it was quite a popular book, eh? I saw a lot of media around it.
And then it was kind of, she read it and she's reading it and is loving it. And then I hadn't really picked it up, but then she was like, oh, it's like, it's queer. And I was like, lead with that.
Cool.
I really enjoyed it. This is her debut collection of poetry, and it was published by Dead Bird Books, who I like their publishing output. They do Dominic Hui as well.
Yes.
Excuse my mispronounced his last name, who I also really like, and he is a great live poet. This is a book, it's really about, like, it's a lot of queer rage, sort of about growing up Catholic, so Catholic and queer, and how that feels. I read a really good article that she wrote, that Jenny Rockwell wrote in the spin-off recently, where she talks about, like, queer joy and how you, when she was growing up, which, so I guess is the same as me, like, you didn't really have any representation that was good. It was all something bad was happening, like you were coming out and everyone hated you, you were old and everyone hated you. But then now where there's so many, like, there's so much queer representation in, like, lots of different areas.
And like, positive
ones
as well.
You know, like Chapel Roan, heaps of people. It's the only one I can think of when I like try to think of an example. But she wrote this line, it was like, queer joy is something that I had to claw my way up through the dirt for. And that's really, I think that really encapsulates how reading this book felt. It's quite like, yeah, her poetry paints, I found it that it painted really vivid imagery. It's like bodies and grit and glitter and gore. It's what the notes I wrote down. I thought they were really achingly beautiful and really insightful about, yeah, being young and queer and, yeah, not knowing where to put that really and how much anger you feel towards the people in your life. But I did like about this collection is there is a lot of rage there, especially towards men, which I enjoyed. but she's quite forgiving of her family and like looking back on how like her parents reacted and okay. that there's that forgiveness there and like almost an understanding of, you know, where they were coming from, which I thought was interesting. And yeah.
Cool. Is this her first collection?
Yeah, it's the first, her debut collection.
Yeah.
I really like the poem. It's called Love is an 80s Horror, where it's sort of featuring two young queer protagonists and they're romancing by a lake. But then, so it's the two of them are overcoming their shame together, but then there's also this like lurking presence in the woods by the lake, kind of like the creature from the Black Lagoon or something is going to come out and get them. Yeah, so I liked how it had that classic horror imagery, which I guess is, I read a review and it was like talking about how that sort of evokes the conservative religious fear of young women's sexuality, and I thought that the poem really encapsulated that well and how she wrote it. I'll read a little excerpt. They are not glowworms in the dark wet soil, only yellow droplets of light pulling in from the wet suburban lamppost. Do you want to see my fishhook palms? Ooh. Oh yeah, highly recommend Jenny Rockwell Vultures. Yeah, I loved it.
Well, that sounds really interesting. Yeah, it was good to, because I haven't engaged with that book yet, but had seen the the media push
recommend.
For it.
I own it if you want to borrow it.
Oh yeah, I've still got your Bluets, Maggie.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's on my pile of many, many books. I keep getting books out of the library and then they just.
Yep, I know that. I know that struggle.
Yeah, actually, one of the books that I'm going to talk about right now, I ordered it online. It's another anthology called Spells: 21st Century Occult Poetry. Mm. It's actually a new expanded edition, so it just came out this year, but it was first published in 2019, I think. And it's edited by Sarah Shin and Rebecca Tamaz. So Rebecca Tamaz, I've talked about before. She wrote a book called Strangers, Essays on the Non-Human. Mm. I think we talked about it in another...
Yes, I do vaguely remember that.
Yeah, so she's really awesome. Like, predominantly, I guess she started out as like a poet and then does essays and now is editing. It says, spells are poems, poetry is spelling. Spell poems take us into a realm where words can influence the universe. Spells bring together over 40 contemporary voices exploring the territory where justice, selfhood, and the imagination meet the transformative power of the occult. These poems unmake the world around them, so they might be made anew. So I was thinking to play, I was going to talk about C.A. Comrade.
Mm-hmm.
Who, do you know C.A. Comrade?
I don't think so.
So they're a queer American poet, born in 1966. I first got familiar with them through Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a really distinct form of their writing. Like their poems kind of snake down the page a little bit,
mm-hmm.
or like yeah, they really play with form heaps. It's actually just reading about their life on Wikipedia, and I was just like, oh my god, like their boyfriend got brutally murdered. I don't know when, but yeah, they've been writing for a really long time. And I was going to play a recording of them, which can be found on the wonderful website that I've talked about before called Poetry Foundation. It's basically like an encyclopedia of poets, both current and past. And this is a poem by C.A. Conrad called Listen to the Golden Boomerang Return, A Potato.
A potato born by shovel, I am a bride of poetry in my orange and purple gown, an unequaled extinction machine pushing strollers through ecosystems of concrete and plastic. We camel through the journey with our new playbook for where plunging hands go. Don't be weird about this. You can be a bride of poetry too.
Yes, that's a poem by C.A. Conrad. Definitely a poet I want to engage with more. But anyway, they've got a poem in this book that I've bought in, the Spells 21st Century Occult Poetry Book, which has a beautiful silver cover.
It does have a beautiful cover.
Highlighter green text. Gotta love the highlighter green. I guess I can't read a poem by them after hearing them read, because I just will not do it justice. They obviously have like a fantastic reading voice. But I will, yeah, so just, yeah, a few of the poets that are in here. I think they're all British poets. I mean, Ursula K. Le Guin is in here.
Oh.
She's American. I'm not sure. She must
be.
Yeah,
I think she is American.
And then it's got people like Will Harris, Rachel Allen, who else? Emily Berry. She used to be the editor of the main poetry magazine that's in the UK. Mm. Yeah. So, and many, many more. Men and women. And yeah, so here's a poem I'll read from it by Amy Key, who writes lots of essays and poetry. I think she had written a book recently as in like a couple of years ago, about not having a partner or a baby, because she must be like in her late 40s now, but sort of about embracing that and like her friend life and finding love in these other ways.
So
she's pretty interesting. Anyway, this is her poem called My Narrative Costume is a Witch Without Reputation. Sometimes I imagine the sea as a cauldron I am making spells in. There is nothing more pleasurable to me than the ardent unavailability. My hate is plaque, intractable, and on my teeth. When I wake up, my skin is like polystyrene someone's dug their nails into. Meanness making a home of me. If you need me, I am rethreading the pearls of my reproach. I have created a difficulty for myself. They asked about my baby plans. How do you feel about dying? My uterus is idle, where forgettings happen. Certain days are limpets smashed from rock with rock. I survived without birthday candles, so can you. I had to lie early to account for things I knew. I had to talk, I had to lie. If you need me, allow me to press all my worries against you like a hot flannel.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah. Oh, there's one line more. Sorry, it's on the other page. Together, let us figure out how to live through our failure. You there, stop composing your ripposite. I thought I quite liked it, ending on hot flannel.
I know, me too. That's a good ending. That's a strong ending.
Yeah, there was a secret stanza on the other page. But yeah, that's Amy Key, and it's from the book Spells.
I love the cover of that book.
You can borrow it. I actually bought two because I'm going to send one to my friend up in Partia. But yeah, did you have another poet there?
No, I don't have another poet. Sorry, I was a bit slack this week.
That's okay.
And I haven't read much poetry just recently.
Well, you've been starting your new mahi.
Yes, the university bookshop.
Yeah.
So yeah, awesome. Getting used to full-time work.
Yeah, it's an adjustment too. Yeah, I find full-time work quite hard. But I'm just part-time at the Athenaeum Library, who's the people who bring you this show. Speaking of which, I'll plug this now. It's our 155th anniversary on Thursday, the 8th of May. And we are going to be having a big extravaganza event at the library. We've got a talk from Hocken archivist Tom Riley. He'll be talking about the history of the Athenaeum, but also what was happening in the Octagon during the 1870s. Cool. Because when we opened there, because we started in the Exchange, but when we opened in the Octagon, apparently people were like, why are you opening in the Octagon? That's kind of in the middle of nowhere. Because, you know, it was all down at the Exchange. So that will be wonderful. And then that's followed by a talk by Lawrence Fernley. A reading. She's going to be reading from her Occam shortlisted book, The Grand Glacier Hotel, which I just finished reading. It's a really good book. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have some readings from Fiona Farrell, who's going to be reading from some of our old Mills and Boon collections, so something a bit lighter. if you do want to come, it's free to attend. We do ask people to RSVP just for catering purposes to librarian@dunedinathenaeum.org.nz. I'll put that information on the listing of the show.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. We've got Star coming on Monday to take some photos. And
nice.
Yeah. But, I mean, kind of hard to believe that we have been in the Octagon for that many years. It's quite incredible. I mean, the building does show its age. But, yeah, we've got – I was just looking at our online catalogue. We've got about 8,700 books on our catalogue. But that doesn't include all the stuff in our stack, which is on the mezzanine level. So
quite a lot more.
Yeah, quite a lot more than that. But yeah, I have a book here that I did want to talk about.
Yeah, please.
By James Brown. It's his recent book called Slim Volume. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you know James Brown? I didn't know him until I moved back to New Zealand. But he actually completed the Bill Menahay's creative writing course in Wellington there in 1991, and he teaches the poetry workshop there. I was like thinking about the name because International Institute of Modern Letters. Like, why is it international? Is that just to make it sound like awesome?
Is it because they have international students?
Yeah. Or is it? But it's not still... but not only. Oh, they're just talking about all...
Are there other... I'm assuming there's other international institutes?
It just seems like quite a like... quite a name.
Yeah.
anyway, he's a poet, obviously, and editor. And I was fortunate enough to have him as a mentor a couple of years ago through the NZSA mentorship scheme. And that was great. Mm. Never met him, but we had a lot of emails back and forth. So he was helping me with my poetry. So this is his recent book, Slim Volume. I think he has quite a body of work. Seems to release something every, like, year or two. But this poem I'm going to read is a bit funny. And it is called Boys Have Penises and Girls Have Diabetes. And it's taken from, it's got a wee segue here, that's from TikTok. Woman, why do girls sit down to go to the bathroom? Boy, because they have diabetes. Boys have penises and girls have diabetes. And the poem goes, this explains a lot. If boys had diabetes, they wouldn't have to stand in the bathroom with their penises out like all the similes in the world. What if you are a boy with diabetes? What if you have a penis but choose to sit? What if you're a girl who chooses to stand or a girl with a penis? What if your penis has diabetes or your diabetes has a penis? What if you fold and scrunch? What if the door is ajar and somebody lifts the lid? But yeah, I thought I quite so good. Enjoyed that. But yeah, it's a mixed bag. I think, yeah, there's definitely some of those poems in it that have like that punchline.
Mm.
I think he's got quite a famous one that he writes about Waiheke Island. It's like quite a beautiful poem.
Okay.
So yeah. I
haven't heard of him.
Yeah, I know. And like quite the name, obviously, James Brown, because you all think the musician.
I was like, I have heard of James Brown, but not that one.
Yeah. But there was many other poets that I would like love to talk about.
We can do another poetry episode and I'll be more prepared and I can read some more. There's lots that I want to read. Like I really want to read some of Ocean Vuong's work, poetry. And I can't remember any other ones now. But
a real good place to start is just picking up anthologies. Like not to plug another library other than an Athenaeum, but the Public Library has quite a vast poetry selection.
Mm.
And I find anthologies really great because then you can just – skim past the ones you're not interested in.
Yeah. I did read it. I think I might have talked about it on here, actually. I did read an anthology last year that was really good called No Other Place to Stand. And it was about, it was a New Zealand publication, and it was about climate change, like poets reacting, responding to climate change.
I remember you.
So I will once again say that was really good. Yeah. And lots of amazing poets cool. in that.
Probably, you probably sell it at the UBS.
I think we probably do.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I guess that's us for this fortnight. And yeah, please feel free to come down to the Athenaeum. Oh, I forgot to mention, because it's our anniversary, we're doing half price memberships. So if you join us up, if you join up in May, then it will only cost $34.50 for 1 year to join our library. And yeah, we've got heaps of incredible books and recent books bought from the UBS. so yeah, come on down.
Yeah, if you're sick of the long holds queues at the public library.
Yeah, exactly.
Get into,
I mean, they're just sitting there.
Yeah, they're begging to be taken out.
And I buy books when a few members are like, can you please buy this? Then I'll buy that. So, but yeah, also come to the event on May the 8th.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be great. All right, have a good weekend, everybody.
Goodbye.
Books Uncovered, exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.